In times of difficulty in our lives, whether assemblies or individuals, times of testing like what Jehoshaphat went through here are either going to draw us closer or further away from the Lord. You know, we see with Asa, his father, we had mentioned the great victory that had been won there. But at the end of his life, what does it say? It says, in the 39th year of his reign, he was diseased in his feet, till his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. You know, it's something that God has to work in every one of our hearts. He's going to bring trials and temptations, or he's going to bring trials and difficulties into every one of our lives. It is said that the Lord cannot greatly use somebody that he has not hurt deeply. You know, he has to plow into our lives the experiences, and often they come through pain. I am struck by the similarities and the differences between this and the time of Samuel's early ministry. You had the Ark of the Covenant, which was brought into the camp of Israel. They were faced with a great enemy, the Philistines. So what did they do? Well, they decided, we're going to bring the Ark of the Lord in. It will deliver us. The problem there was they didn't want to deal with the root of the problems that were in the camp. And so the God, who had already taken 4,000 of their lives, took 33,000 more. And there was great distress. Phinehas and Hophni, the sons of Eli, were killed. And you saw great slaughter among them, great pain. So what has to happen at that point? Samuel at that point comes and he gets the people before the Lord. You need to repent. And I just want to turn to a verse there in 1 Samuel because I want to link it to here. 1 Samuel and chapter 7. You know, and through all of this, though, the name of God and the greatness of God was never in doubt. And God, in spite of this failure of his people, maintained his name. His name was glorified in it all. First, he had to deal with his own people. Judgment must first begin at the household of God. And then he dealt with the Philistines. And they came to know that it wasn't the gods of Israel that delivered the Israelites from the Egyptians, but it was the God of Israel. And they had to send the Ark of the Covenant back. I don't want to get into it because it would take away from this topic, but I want to get into chapter 7 and verse 3. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your heart unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. They had lost sight of the one who gave them the victory. And now Samuel's having to bring them back to it. So what did they do? They put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. And then in verse 6, they mention, we have sinned. Verse 8, the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry to the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. It's always nice to know that when we're fighting a battle, we have someone praying for us. And then in verse 9, Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And then it goes on to talk about the aftermath of that battle. But the name of God was glorified in it all. And we see the same thing here when we go to Jehoshaphat. And I just want to turn back. The same thing is true with Jehoshaphat. You know, he prays, but he got his heart right first before he faced the battle, as opposed to having to go through the battle, having a defeat, and then having to go back. He'd had his defeats earlier, But he didn't at this point. He recognized the need to get his heart right. And you know, when we get into a time of adversity, a time of difficulty, a time, maybe it's physical suffering, maybe it's family, whatever it is, it's time to do exactly what Asa did in the first part of it, where he set himself to seek the Lord. There's that single-hearted focus, Lord, I want to be before you. You are my only hope. You are my only deliverer. And when we get into the last of this chapter, and it's beautiful to see the name of God is glorified here just as it is in every other place. And it says in verse 29 of chapter 20 here, the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Yes, there was that internal fighting among themselves, but God had done it, and the name of God was glorified in all of this. When you and I face the enemy, if we do it before the Lord and we're right before the Lord, his name will be glorified in whatever we go through, whether it's physical pain, whether it's emotional pain, whether it's children, whatever it is, God will be glorified if we are single-hearted before him. And there's no better way to do that than in times of difficulty and suffering. We see that with the disciples of the Lord. They're out there in the middle of the sea. The storm is raging. And they said, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? The Lord doesn't still the storm until after he deals with the disciples' hearts. But he deals with their hearts, and then he stills the storm. And the name of God is glorified there as well. So here we see in Jehoshaphat's life, we see the name of God is glorified among the nations around, not just in Israel, but there's the testimony of the Lord is there. His name is glorified to all around because Jehoshaphat prepared his heart to seek the Lord.